Welcome to episode 290 of the Star Wars Report podcast. Coming up, it's D23. Star Wars Land has a name and the sizzle reel. Let's do it. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast. So glad to have you. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. We've got a great show for you today. Because I'm still riding a high from D23. I was just down in Anaheim, California for the biannual Disney convention. This show's going to go great. I need someone to help save this. Listen, I just came... All right, if you're listening to this podcast, you need to know this. I just came off of a late delayed flight last night. And I was going to go straight to bed, but then I remembered the new Game of Thrones episode's on. At which point I remembered, well, I only got like 5 hours of combined sleep over the last 5 days because of D23. Eh, we'll be fine. And then I realized that I had a double shift today, and I just got off of that double shift, count them, 27 minutes ago. Here to save this podcast is the man who can probably more functionally communicate than I can right now. It's Steele Saunders.
I like that you open the podcast with a list of excuses about the professionalism that's about to commence.
I've got to do something to lower the expectations. Like, they're already low. I know that. But I've got to just take it down. And then you notice how
my name's in the credits. I'd like to think expectations are high.
Although, and you notice what I did is, like, I put it all on you. It's like, he's going to save us all.
Yes, I am truly the Luke Skywalker of podcasting, igniting the green microphone.
Yes.
And cleaning house.
Exactly. No. Steele Saunders, of course, of the amazing Steel Wars podcast. I'll tell you what, probably one of the hardest working people in Star Wars podcasting. You are it's remarkable. Listen, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. And you're like, you know what? This is the perfect time. We're going to podcast from the line. And everyone's like, yeah, let's do it. Why not?
It's a good chat, actually. It's a good chat. It will go up on Wednesday. Riley got amongst our blog pods, which I really love doing. It's sort of like an audio diary through conventions. And we're about to start another one with Comic-Con about to start. But yes, I did drag Riley into a very late night, very cold floor
yes
podcast chat, but it was good fun.
Yeah, no, I was only there on Saturday, but that was the big day for the Star Wars stuff, the future film stuff, and of course the parks. And there's so much to go through, so I won't delay anymore. Let's get into the news.
We have something to report.
Come closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
All right, it's here. We know. I want to start with the sizzle reel. We'll break down the sizzle reel. We'll break down all the Star Wars Land announcements. But I'll tell you what, Steele, just give me your overall impression of D23, because we started, like, or at least in my mind, we started waiting in line for forever for this sizzle reel. Like, there's all the Mary Poppins fans out there, but I think we outnumbered them.
I don't know if we did.
Well,
I don't know if we did.
Actually. Yeah.
I found the crowd in that lineup room was very subdued, very different to a celebration lineup crowd.
I'll tell you what it was, Steele. It was the banana lounges.
Everyone was intimidated by him, you think?
or very comfortable in them, one or the other. I've never been so jealous of some weird infomercial product ever.
Oh, you mean those inflatable things?
Yes, yeah.
Ah, because I had what in Australia we call a banana lounge, and that's like a metal framed sort of fold out vinyl strapped deal. It folds into like three parts, so it's like a bed, and then you can adjust, you know, like chair goes up, chair goes down.
Yeah.
But yeah, at D23 there was this new innovation, which was an inflatable tube. There was many lewd descriptions about what it looked like, But
that's true.
Jason and I watched a lady inflate one just by spinning around and holding it up, and then she hopped in it and sort of fell out of it. And it was one of the fun. Sure, it was at about 3 a.m, but it was one of the funniest things. I don't know if my sense of humor had been lessened, but we were like Beavis and Butthead level giggling at this lady falling out of her tube. Yeah, so that's the hot new thing. Forget your exclusives and all that sort of stuff. It's all about getting tubed, bros. Get those tubes. But I was interested to hear you say, and I haven't really spoken to many people post-convention or as they call it, expo. Mm-hmm. And it definitely had more of an expo feel than a convention.
Yeah.
But you said you were still on a high. I wasn't feeling it, man.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed the Star Wars stuff. I didn't enjoy the way it was presented.
Yeah. You weren't on the Disney Magic High?
I like, to be honest, I enjoyed watching all the different. So for people that don't know, unlike a Comic Con or at a celebration where the panel is just focused on this new film coming out.
Yeah.
The panel we went to went for about, I guess, 2 hours. I wouldn't know because I wasn't allowed to look at my phone. It was sealed in a bag. And it was about 2 hours, and it went through every film that any Disney entity will be bringing out in the next 3 years or something like that.
It was
fascinating.
Yeah, it was kind of like
very interesting.
I could almost describe it still as like an Apple keynote. Like you're learning about the watch, you're learning about the phone, and then there were portions of it that were definitely sort of like, and these are the new features of iWorks, and you're like, no, tell me about the new iPhone.
Yeah, I also got the feeling that I was going to be offered discounted Disney shares by the end, but I had to act now.
You know,
maybe a very compelling case, but yeah, like I enjoyed all the previews and all the clips from all the different, you know, the live action Disney and of course the Marvel stuff was pretty breathtaking. But you know, I don't camp out for that stuff. I camp out to get the straight Star Wars, no chaser. And the sizzle clip was great. It was online immediately, which is fine, but we didn't get really anything else. There was a very, you know, Rian Johnson was out there and he sort of interviewed the cast, but in a very, we've got to hustle through this. Like, I don't know how long Star Wars had, but it didn't seem like it was more than 15 minutes. And I think I might be generous there. And I just thought they could have done a little bit more for the Star Wars fans in the audience. Like the fact that we walked out of the theater and by the time we turned on our phones on, there were these new Last Jedi posters. It was like, you couldn't show that to us in the thing. Like I had to walk out and turn on my phone and find out things. I had heard that they were having trouble deciding exactly what to show for their portion, and to be honest, the sizzle reel is awesome.
Yeah,
but to be honest, I think it showed that, it just felt like their part of the presentation, Lucasfilm's part, it didn't stand up to the other entities of Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think as you know, a long time convention goer or thereabouts and you know, going for Star Wars stuff, the format of the D23 is a bit more Nickelodeon awards. Look, there's a celebrity, let's clap them, without much substance in it. Like, you know, there's no hour-long panel where everyone gets asked a question. It's like the Avengers came out. They all had microphones. None of them said.
And that was a lot of wireless microphones too.
That was a lot of Avengers. That was impressive. And it was cool. And the Avengers clip, that the preview they show that hasn't shown up online yet, is it's stunning.
Oh.
It is really quite stunning. But I didn't want to walk out of the room talking about Avengers. Like, I was doing post-panel interviews, and my friend Ash Crozen, who is a reporter for Entertainment Tonight, all she wanted to talk about was the Avengers thing. And it's like, you're a hardened Star Wars fan, Ash.
Yeah. That, listen,
yeah, so
that
so
was me. I wanted to talk nothing but adventures after that.
Yeah, so I think, like, you know, I know Brian Young from Full of Sith, you know, we were talking about it online, and he was saying, oh, I can't say how anyone could be disappointed by the Star Wars stuff. And it's like, yeah, but you were just sitting at home and you clicked on this 3-minute clip.
Yeah.
And I know it is our choice to do this, but I think we've built up a certain expectation, and to be honest, I normally feel, whether it's Comic-Con or whether it's anniversary pointed.
Sorry, see, we just lost you for just a second. Whether it's Comic-Con or whether it's...
Oh, sorry. Whether it's Comic-Con or whether it's Star Wars Celebration, I normally think these big panels, Lucasfilm delivers and then some.
Yeah.
I can't see how anyone could come out of the 40th anniversary panel at Star Wars Celebration disappointed. Like, and if you were, I'm not sure what you were expecting.
I'll tell you what, like, in... I did a little video blog documentary thing of Celebration, and there's a moment in that very panel right afterwards, and I just, like, turned my phone over to my sister and said, hey, what'd you think of it? And she said, that's the most emotional Star Wars thing I've ever experienced, that 40th anniversary panel. And, you know, but that was the 40th anniversary. Maybe a more fair comparison, because I wasn't there. I know you were. Like, about 2 years ago was when we got another behind-the-scenes reel, and it was presented at Comic-Con, and I know you were there. Were you more hyped for what they showed for The Force Awakens at Comic-Con?
Yeah. I think, but it's not, it's, like, I know it was the same sort of clip, but
yeah.
I think it's not a, maybe it's not a totally fair comparison because it was The Force Awakens. It was the first behind-the-scenes clip we'd seen.
Yeah.
So I'm willing there. But then of course they gave us that Star Wars concert across the road with the orchestra and, you know.
Yeah.
Like what? But yeah, it is a concern for me as someone that has, you know, in the past couple of years really grown to love the experience of going to these conventions and you know, catching up with you, Riley, and all the friends that we've made from around the world. And we're treated to these amazing, you know, multimedia events. If they're going to shun San Diego Comic-Con for this, you know, San Diego Comic-Con's this weekend, and they could have had an hour panel there like they did for The Force Awakens. Instead, they chose to have this 15-minute or so presentation amongst all this Disney stuff. Like, as a fan that enjoys these events, and I think both fans that go to the events and fans that, you know, follow our sort of adventures and the reporting of those events, it's disappointing that, like, we're sort of getting shortchanged in that area. Like, I'm happy for you that you are on a buzz because you, like, you know, no one sort of sacrificed more comfort and went harder with your fly in, fly out. I've only got a tiny pillow to sleep on.
It's true. It's funny. Yeah. And it's funny because I opened the show maybe somewhat disingenuously because I actually pretty much agree with everything you're saying. There are parts of the convention, honestly, like, As you say all this out loud, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I agree with that. As far as the Star Wars stuff goes, and I was super hyped for the Avengers stuff, and I think there is a Disney kid in me that really liked. Well, and it just depends. Like, so for example, I didn't watch Lion King 5,000 times as a kid, so when they showed the new clip from the new Lion King, I wasn't one of the people cheering. But like people were, they went nuts for that. But like when I saw the Mary Poppins, that I thought of all the times as a kid, I watched that movie over and over again, and they broke out the orchestra and stuff. There were moments like where the Disney fan in me was like, oh, that's awesome. And that is a different kind of excitement, but it still is different than something like a Star Wars celebration by far. Like, and honestly, like the reason the trip was so awesome was only like, honestly, D23 was like icing on the cake. The fact that I got to hang out Friday with some really cool folks, having some different like podcasting and media type meetings and some brainstorming and planning on Friday. I wasn't at D23 on Friday. And then that night, I spent like 4 hours hanging out with J.C. Reifenberg and his crew at the pop-up cantina. And like that was a party.
Oh, nice.
And that of course, I was there till like, you know, 11 o'clock and then, you know, went straight down and got in line. And so like it was sort of, I think I had a really fun launching point. So at that point, I was just like, because I'm at the stage where like, I was like, I really hope this is a lot of money. This is a big trip just to go out one day. I hope it's all worth it. And like I had already had my great Star Wars time getting there. So that's sort of the context for me. But as far as the presentation itself, like I've seen that reel maybe twice, maybe three times. I didn't, and it's not because I didn't like it, but like, you know, I've seen that freaking space penguin 10 times as many times as I've seen that behind the scenes reel. And so this is much more, we're at a different stage. Like the Force Awakens presence, regardless of the presentation, there was just a different type of excitement because we're comfortable now. We know Star Wars is back. And so when the new behind the scenes reel comes out, it's not about practical effects. It's kind of memeable. We get to have fun with the funny little penguin that we see, or you know, we get to see that. But I totally agree with you, man. I will. The thing that I'm by far most excited about, that I definitely want to kind of get your take on, is the Star Wars Land stuff, Galaxy's Edge, as they're calling it. But before I do that, let me ask you, Steele, how much of a Disney Parks guy are you? Did you go as a kid? Is that something that you seek out and enjoy, or is it just kind of an extra bonus now that Star Wars is part of the Disney family?
Well, I'll answer that question a little bit cheekily. I didn't go to Disney because I grew up in Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't get to go to a Disney park until I was 23.
Oh, but, that's hilarious. That's literally the exact age when I first went.
But I assure you, I went as a kid.
Ah-ha-ha, yes.
I grew up in Melbourne, Australia, and going to a Disney park seemed, you know, that was like the height of a dream for me as a little kid. And I remember in school when someone would go on their holidays to Disney or to America, and I grew up very Americanized with like I was a huge fan of skateboarding and American sort of like punk music and clothing brands and stuff and Star Wars. And we used to like, if someone came back from America in the schoolyard, they would be like a celebrity. And we just like, I remember being just a group of kids surrounding this kid that had just got back from like America and Disneyland. And the two things we wanted to know was all about Disneyland and what McDonald's menu items they had that we didn't. They were the two pressing issues of information that people had to bring back from America. Now, I adore going to the Disney parks. I was talking about something the other day. I maybe have gone 8 or 10 times. I was very lucky enough to go to my friend's clothing brand, had a big 10-year anniversary, and they had hired out for a private party Tomorrowland in Anaheim.
Whoa.
for like 2,000 people, and I had this silver bracelet that got me to the front of every line and stuff. And
dude,
I went on that Star Tours ride about 15 times. I went on it with one other person by the end at about 5 to 2. Just and that person was a Disney employee. It was so weird to be on it by myself, pretty much.
That's amazing. So I have to say, I'm guessing, at least if you're like me, I was more excited about the Galaxy's Edge stuff than anything in that behind the scenes reel. which is weird for me to say because I never went to the parks as a kid. I only went as an adult because of Star Wars weekends, and I had, you know, Star Wars friends going, and I kind of, you know, I'm a Disney convert now.
I'm like, it's unbelievable. It's the problem with this Galaxy's Edge thing. It's too good.
Yeah.
It's because it's just like, well, when will anyone that's normal get to go and enjoy it normally? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's too good. It the whole thing. And then, you know, afterwards they brought out all that information about how you can stay in the hotel and you can have this special tailored, you know, a little bit Westworld-y, where you've got a costume and stuff. And oh, my God.
I have thoughts. So here's the deal. What they had is this Galaxy of Stories exhibit where they showed a lot of artwork and then some props and costumes. And then, of course, the centerpiece with this remarkable scale model of Galaxy's Edge, what of course we previously knew as Star Wars Land. It's this 14-acre integrated section of the park that is really different than what I would have thought when the Disney buy initially happened, and immediately one of my first thoughts is, oh, they're going to do Star Wars Land. When I thought Star Wars Land in my mind, I thought, well, of course you're going to have the Battle of Hoth ride here, and the Mos Eisley Cantina here, and then the indoor experience over there, right? It's going to be all the who's who of the coolest locations, all that stuff, and you're going to go experience at a Disney park. That's not what they're doing.
That's what everyone thought. Do you know what I mean? We saw so many, or not so many, but you know, more than a few beautifully rendered artist interpretations of what a Star Wars land could be. You know, that incorporated all things from the saga, and it's, you know, they've gone for, I kind of think in the end, a better experience with a whole new thing. The one thing, like, when I went to, and you went to the cantina in LA.
Yeah.
I went to the, in London, they had the secret cinema of Empire Strikes Back, which is like an immersive experience. Secret cinema, they take a film and they make this immersive, like, land that you go through for, you know, a couple of hours before you then see the film. And they've done, what did they do?
That's so cool. I hadn't even heard of this. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. You should listen to, I've got a podcast where we talked all about it. Jackie and I went to it, and like after like 20 minutes, and you can't take phones in, they make you seal your phone up and stuff, so not everyone's taking selfies and all that sort of stuff, which is so good, because that would sort of ruin the vibe. But after a while, like, we're on Tatooine, and it's in this giant, you know, like a Walmart sized warehouse, you know, and there's sand on the ground, there's stormtroopers, there's droids going around, there's buildings. It's incredible. Google the on YouTube, there's, like, you know, Empire Strikes Back Secret Cinema, there'll be a video. And the moment I got sucked in was when we all started booing the Empire as they got dragged off.
Oh.
It was incredible. So on the episode of Steel Wars that just went up today, I interviewed one of the Imagineers on the project, and he said that several of his associates, not him, but several of his workmates had actually flown over to, like, do the secret cinema experience for Empire Strikes Back. So they would have, you know, taken a few immersion tips from there. And late on Friday night, I was talking to someone, and are you still there, Riley?
I sure am.
Okay, great. There was just a weird click, and I just want to make sure you're still on the line.
Yeah. We had a brief Skype break, but, you know, it's Skype.
Okay, all good. So I was talking to someone that was privy to a bit of extra information, and they were saying that they're going to have the ability to reference what happened to you on the rides. The vendors, like, in the shops, will have access to that information
Holy
and can
cow.
Refer to it.
That's insane.
I've read a few articles about technology at Disney and things that they're doing, and I think it might revolve around these wristbands
mm-hmm.
that they've got.
Yeah, like the magic bands.
I believe they're in use. Sorry?
Oh, like the magic bands.
Yeah, is that like the Disney wristband or something?
Can yeah. They're basically these little wristbands. For people who don't know, if you go to a Disney park, you can get a regular ticket, which is like an RFID credit card style card. But what's getting really popular and what they've really been pushing when you go to Disney park is instead getting this wristband with a magnetic chip, just a standard RFID encoded. And that's what would get you. So that's what would tie to your fast passes, or you could put your credit card information on it and make purchases just with your wristband.
Yeah, well, it seems like they're going to be using that technology to be able to reference what has happened to you at other parts of the Star Wars land or the Galaxy's Edge. Mm. I don't know how much you know about professional wrestling, Riley, but...
I'm tangentially familiar.
Okay, I think getting people to call it Galaxy's Edge instead of Star Wars land is like Vince McMahon trying to get everyone to call professional wrestling sports entertainment. I just don't think it's going to catch on. It's Star Wars land, guys.
Yeah, no, it's going to stay Star Wars. Yeah, let's be honest. Yeah, well, and I think I want to give a little bit of perspective here as we talk about this, because Steele, you're alluding to so much awesomeness, but essentially, I think you keyed in on this right at the beginning of our conversation about this, Westworld. Now, the difference between what they're doing when you take a look at the scale model is that they're very restrained in some ways with the number of experiences that you would have. Unlike pretty much any other park, it's a very uniform experience. Everything is one area. Everything's one story. So there are shopping areas and there are attractions. There's like a battle that you can go participate in. There's the Millennium Falcon where you can go ride in it. But instead of sort of being like, here's this attraction, then there's this attraction, then there's this attraction, it's a very, like I say, it's one world that you experience, and it's tied to this hotel announcement. That's what really got me to thinking, this idea that they explicitly say in the announcement about the hotel that guests experience like these multi-day individual story experiences, this in-universe experience when you stay at the Star Wars hotel that will tie to your experience at the park. And when you say this about wristbands, you know, like, it just gets my brain turning. So what Westworld is, just as a very, very, very brief aside, it's the idea of this guy who creates a theme park where he literally builds the old American West. He has this grand vision of what it would be like. And there's, of course, the sort of like family vacation aspect of it. But then it's sort of like it's a fascinating story that like questions, well, what exactly is humanity willing to pay for in the world of fantasy? And it's like this ponderous, thought-provoking story. But all I could think about when saying, and you will be in the Star Wars universe, and you will be able to like experience it in a totally immersive way, where you're not just going to the Star Tours ride, you're going on a mission. And then what you do next in the park will be related to that mission. Like, it is... It surprised me in the way that I was telling my sister Cindy about it, and she was she has kids about 6 and 3, and she was thinking about it, I was thinking about it. The idea of what a theme park entertainment is about to change drastically, and I think Star Wars Land, as I'm going to continue to call it, is just the beginning.
It sounds like that immersive experience. It sounds so good. And I don't want to be a naysayer here, Riley.
Okay.
But you know when I've experienced this with you, actually, in person, me and you and Bethany, at the end of Star Wars Celebration, when they do that announcement over the loudspeakers that it's closed,
mm-hmm.
to get out of there. How do you go back to work the next day after living a 3-day adventure in Star Wars land? How does that work out for you?
Right? I mean, and that's when we have this like dark fantasy story of people becoming addicted to theme parks.
Like, yeah, well, one of the one of the ongoing threads throughout Westworld is about a guy, you know, a very rich man that does seem to be addicted to the experience of being immersed in that land.
That would never happen to any of us Star Wars fans.
Yeah, well, it goes back to my whole thing about not really wanting to go into business class on a flight from Australia to America, which is like a 14-hour flight, because then the next time I don't fly business class, I don't like...
Yeah.
I don't want to know what the people upstairs or at the front are experiencing. So this like, you know, getting a day or two of this immersive Star Wars experience, it might... It might diminish anything else in my life.
Like, right? Yeah, I guess, man, now I'm starting, now you're legitimately scaring me now. I'm like, yeah, that's actually a very good point. I already have a hard enough, I had a hard enough time at like Star Wars weekends. You know,
right?
But like, that, especially yeah, if it's that, you with your friends, right? Because you're like Frodo and Sam in Star Wars. Like, you have this bond that you do in your adventure. Like, when they say, all right, so there's two major attractions, and one of them is a battle between the First Order and Resistance. And, like, if you, like, fight a battle with your friends, it's like, listen, as a guy going into the military, I personally know so many people, and there's, like, a bond of war. Like, well, does that happen with, like, fake Star Wars war? Because, man, if it does, and, like, all of my best Star Wars friends, and suddenly, like, we went off and fought a battle together. Yeah, no.
But, I'm willing to risk it. I'm
Oh, yeah. Willing of to course. Risk it. Are you kidding? First one in line, right?
It's I'm also. They haven't announced any prices for any of this stuff, oh, as man. Far as I know.
Oh yeah,
but I am looking forward to the first GoFundMe for someone to have their weekend. That is going to be some serious outrage from people for that one.
Yeah, no, definitely. Oh, and it is going to have a cantina, everybody. Calm down. It is going to be a cantina that will have blue milk. It's part of the press release, everybody. That was something in the context of, like, announcing Westworld but Star Wars. They also felt it was important to mention, yes, there's a cantina and blue milk, okay?
Ah, I didn't even see that.
Yeah, it's right at the bottom of the press release on the Disney Parks site. It's, yeah, speaking of cantina, here guests will be able to try unique concoctions like blue milk. Nearby, they'll also be able to acquire trinkets and treasures from across the galaxy. Of course they will.
Because I think that's what I think I eventually was going to say about that whole thing in London, the Empire Strikes Back secret cinema. They had, you know, because the whole thing was, the conceit was that you sort of lived through Star Wars through this immersion, and then you watched Empire Strikes Back, which also was heightened by a few 4D experiences during the film, which is incredible. But we won't go into that. But being able to walk into the Mos Eisley Cantina, squeeze my way through a few aliens, a few humanoids, and order a beer. Absolutely thrilling.
That's a good night, sir.
Absolutely thrilling. So I don't think they can sell beer in this cantina because Disneyland does not sell beer.
That's why you come to Orlando.
Ah.
Man, but that seems like... Like, so I'm sure like the tradition of Disney, which I certainly understand and sympathize with, of not selling alcohol in the Disneyland park... parks. I certainly see that, but it seems that's like a fundamental, right? Like, it's the cantina. Like, I want someone to yell at some robot that, you know, they don't serve their kind. It better happen when I walk through. I'm gonna be like, yeah, I'm gonna just be like, you're damn right we don't serve their kind. Approved droid racism. It's Star Wars land, everybody.
Right on. You don't go into Moe's Tavern at Universal Studios and you want to buy a soda water, you know what I'm saying? You want a Duff and you want a Flamin' Moe.
Exactly.
You want it now.
Exactly. Steel Saunders, Steel Wars is the podcast. Steel, I'm sure you've got all kinds of great stuff from D23, and you're about to make the trek to Comic-Con. I'm sure you've got all kinds of stuff. So tell people where they can find Steel Wars and what you got coming up next.
Well, the website and the Twitter address is Steel Wars, which is STEELE. And then WARS. We've got our blog pods, which are sort of like audio diaries, which Riley appears on part two of the D23, where we do a little impromptu roundtable podcast at about 2 a.m. And then this week I'll be off to San Diego Comic Con and we'll be doing the same thing. So it's like I interview people in line next to me. I'll be interviewing the team from Hasbro, the guys from Funko, from Jack's Pacific, and whoever I bump into. And I don't want to brag, Riley.
Oh?
I've got a good habit of bumping into interesting people at these conventions.
That he does. Check out Steel Wars on iTunes and wherever you get your podcast. Steel, thank you so much, sir.
It is always a pleasure, Riley, and whenever all your team totally cop out on you, you just call me, buddy. I'll be there for you. I'll be there with that green microphone.
And willing to ignite it. All right, Steel, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Cheers, buddy.
Bye-bye. That's Steel Saunders, everybody. It is true. Mark, I didn't say it at the beginning of the show, but Mark and Bruce are not available this evening. They both had other things pop up last minute, and Steel came in just like that Luke Skywalker ready to ignite the green. Let me just take a brief time out, folks. We will be... This is the thing when you're talking and running everything. We'll be right back. Hey! This episode of the Star Wars Report podcast is brought to you by everybody supporting us at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. That is the way that we actually run this show. That's how we fund all the hosting, the equipment costs, all the everything involved with making this program each and every week. Big shout out this week to our featured supporter. He's our newest patron, Greg Beauregard. Greg, thank you so much for jumping on board. Here's what Greg's about to get and what you get when you pledge your support to the Star Wars Report. What you get is an email from me. And depending on what level that you pledge at, we send you... things like, I don't know, t-shirts. You can get to join in on the hangouts we do every month. Or even just at the very entry level, we have just at $1 a month. You can just join in on the Facebook chat we've got going. It's a lot of fun, actually. Like, seriously, when I was at D23, it was so much fun to just kind of check in with everyone of the patrons and Mark and Bruce since they weren't out there. We're all in the chat, and I was able to kind of quickly post pictures and share the experience of D23 just in the chat right there. It's super easy. And so it's a really fun way to communicate, hang out with us. Everyone who pledges at any level gets a link to every single episode we ever do. And of course, here's the main thing. Here's what we do literally at the $5 level. It's Rogue Transmissions, our weekly bonus podcast. Actually, this week's Rogue Transmissions, it's funny, is going to be about Avengers because I am excited about it. So I'm going to kind of spill the deets on Avengers Infinity War and the footage they showed, and we're gonna just talk some superheroes. It's not Star Wars, but that's why it's Rogue. It's Rogue Transmissions. Anyway, check out all this bonus content. It's all available exclusively at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. We really do appreciate everybody who supports and makes the show happen. Here's the deal. We're on our way. We're looking for a monthly megapod, and our goal is 50 patrons, and Mr. Beauregard jumping on board. Guess what, folks? We're up 44. So just jump in. It's a buck. And we will unlock our monthly Megapod. Megapod. Mega, mega, megapod. Hey! That's right, folks. It is the Star Wars Report podcast. You know, sometimes I feel a little weird. I'm not going to lie. It's a little weird sometimes to do the Patreon plug because Star Wars Reports is something I've always done for fun. And the fact that we can even go to D23 and cover this kind of stuff, the fact that that's even a possibility is only because of people who support us. Like all the equipment I used and everything literally was only there. I want to give a couple. Because we kind of glossed over the actual D23 experience because we were going over the announcements and stuff with Steel. But I wanted to kind of talk about the convention itself. And tell you guys a little bit more about that because it was different. Like I'm sure it came off maybe a little on the negative side as far as the way we reacted to it. But as Star Wars fans, it was low key. There's no other way to say it. I had a great time, But it wasn't because of, like, Star Wars is here and it's overpowering Disney. Everyone loves Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars. No, it was, in fact, like, Star Wars, you're like, oh, here, Star Wars is, here's, like, the, it's the puzzle piece. It's, you know, it's just, like, part of a bigger picture. It's part of the giant, you know, Disney brand. If anything, it was all about Avengers. In fact, Avengers, like, ate everybody's lunch, let's be honest. But, like I say, I'll talk about that in the main show notes, in Rogue Transmissions, which I will record right after this. But yeah, D23, it was, the trip, it was part of my trip out to L.A., a big old shout out to podcaster and magician extraordinaire Andrew Main. He was awesome. I got to hang out and talk to him, and he was great offering some advice and ideas for this very podcast, actually. He was awesome. And then, of course, like I say, I got to go to J.C. Reifenberg's cantina, the Scum and Villainy Cantina. It was awesome. I mean, it's the cantina, and I got to walk in. Get some drinks and hang out with people, with big old Star Wars fans. It was great. And so, like, that was my preview of D23. And so then, of course, D23 itself was awesome as well. In fact, man, there's so much to talk about. I just kind of want to give, like, general shout-outs because I ran into so many awesome people. The Galaxy of Stories thing, Galaxy's Edge, I'm so excited. It's so much better than anything. It's Star Wars immersion, right? We touched on it, but it bears repeating. Like, just seeing it there, it reminds me, you know, like it's Westworld and Star Wars, especially the way it ties to the hotel. I took a bunch of pictures of this, and they're all available at StarWarsReport.com. I put up a blog post. It's called Galaxy's Edge Star Wars Immersion. And you can see the whole photo gallery. I'll also be posting those on our Facebook page as well. Really, really, really detailed gallery. They had a pretty cool setup where you would kind of be funneled through a line where you could kind of slowly walk by the whole thing. And right at the beginning of the line, they had a microphone and speaker set up with one of the Imagineers who'd give kind of a brief overview of what the land would look like and kind of point all there's where the cantina will be. That's where the the First Order resistance battle will be. There's the Millennium Falcon. That's where that attraction's going to be. And you can kind of start putting the pieces together of what this park is actually going to look like. And that was awesome. In fact, I almost got, unfortunately, I had it scheduled. It wasn't able to work it out. I was almost able to interview one of the Imagineers. I hope we can at some point to kind of talk about the actual creation of this. Which is, it's just remarkable, and I'm so glad. Again, like, I'll post all of the pictures online. But yeah, man, D23, it's the mecca. It's the mecca of Disney nerddom. The Disneyites, the Mouseketeers. And I gotta say, after attending it last weekend, It's crazy, guys. It's Disney, Disney, Disney. It's Disney, Disney, Disney. Like, if you know who's the person who should have been out there is friend of the show, Teresa Delgado. She would love it. But, like, if there's I love Disney, but there are parts of Disney that I'm not as big of a fan of. So, like, there are parts of it that's kind of over my head. But it's, like, it's sort of the thing where, like, I walk by a group of girlfriends and they're all cosplaying as Disney princesses, and then right after that there's, like, a dad and his son. And then they're matching Captain America costumes, or, you know, of course, there's all the there is a Star Wars crowd. It's just not like the majority. In fact, we're pretty much totally outnumbered. And it's true. Like, you could tell by hearing me and still talk about it. But we're used to Celebration. That's my home convention, and it's sort of, like I say, weird putting Star Wars in this like larger context of all the other Disney properties, and that's what it was. And let me tell you, that concrete was cold, and that concrete was hard, very much so, very much so. But yeah, that live action panel, there's all kinds of stuff, but the main thing was, of course, the behind the scenes reel, and they showed off some new pictures. The posters they're talking about that you guys probably have seen are the ones that are this sort of weird red theme, and it makes you wonder if any of the main characters of The Last Jedi still have eyes. That's the posters. But that's kind of what they showed. That they didn't even show that at the panel, like Steele said. I will say this. I totally forgot to mention. I went straight from that live action panel where they showed off all the Disney movies to the Galaxy of Stories exhibit. And of all the people I ran into, I posted a picture on my Instagram. It's at the Riley Guy if you want to find it. I ran into designer extraordinaire and artist Doug Chang. If you've seen any of the, like the prequel making of documentaries or really any of the art books or anything, you see so much of Doug Chang's work. He did so much production design on the prequels, and now he's gone on to work with Lucasfilm and now Disney to design the exhibit. And so imagine my surprise when I'm like getting wrapping up and stuff, and I kind of turn around, and then boom, right in my face, it's Doug Chang. And I was like super taken aback, but I recovered pretty quickly, and I was like, hey, my name's Riley. I just want to say real quick, I love your work, and man, this is amazing. And I kind of pointed back at the thing. It's incredible what you guys are doing, and I just wanted to tell you, I really love it. And he was super gracious, like, oh, thank you so much. And then I did that thing. Sometimes I'm very hesitant to like to ask for a picture when I'm just kind of bumping into someone. And almost the more of a fan of them I am, the more nervous I am about doing this kind of thing. But I totally did it. Although I had a strategy. I normally, this is how, if Riley asks for a picture from any kind of celebrity, this is how I do it. I start by saying this. Hey, feel free to say no, totally. If you can, it's totally fine. But if you could, it'd be amazing if we could grab a picture really quick. He didn't even blink. He just like, oh, sure, absolutely. So like, I whipped out my phone, took a picture real quick. And then he was like, he was even nicer. He went on to say like, no, we should get the model in the background. Cause I was like so overwhelmed at the time. I wasn't even thinking about that. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. So we got the picture. So Doug Chang, everybody, he was awesome. I was so excited that I got to see him. I ran into so many people. I got to hang out with Steven Stanton and Dutch and Kathy and Rick Fitz and their whole crew. I didn't even shout him up nearly enough. My line buddies, Chris Siegel and Dominic Jones from Star Wars Underworld, they saved me a spot in line. I joined them super late. We hung out. We talked all night. They were great. Got to hang out with them a ton. Ran into Savannah Kiefer, of course, from her universe. It was amazing. Oh, we went to the Starlight. We've worked with them before. The Starlight Foundation had a booth with Disney Charity, and we went over and volunteered for a minute and got some pictures and stuff. It was great. It was crazy. It was a jam packed day, because by the time all of that happened, it was time to head back. I was trying to schedule that interview with some of the Imagineers. It did not work out. But what did work out, who I did run into towards the end of the day when we got back to Galaxy of Stories, was Richard and Sarah from Skywalking Through Neverland, and of course hanging out with me at the time was Chris and Dom from Star Wars Underworld, and we did a quick reaction. A quick reaction recording of the actual experience, and specifically some of the Star Wars land stuff. And it was you can tell how tired we were. We were a little crazy. So I'm going to cut to that clip in just a second. But I do want to just say, well, no, I've got some final thoughts on D23. I'll wrap those up. But for the time being, let's cut to that clip live from the convention floor in Anaheim, California at D23. Here it is. All right, check it one, check it two. Hey, guys. Welcome back. It's the Star Wars Report podcast. We're kind of standing in a pretty cool place if you're going to do a podcast.
Stories Pavilion.
Yeah, in fact, all right, I'm just going to go around the circle. We have one mic, five people, so we'll see how this goes. Around the circle, it's Chris Siegel from Star Wars Underworld.
DuckTales is awesome.
Thank you. That's exactly what I was thinking, standing here in the middle of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge display. I was thinking about DuckTales. What about you, Richard?
I'm thinking about the Galaxy's Edge, and we should
right answer.
And on Alderaan, that has been confirmed.
Always pluck.
Fair point, Richard. Of course, from Skywalking Through Neverland, as well as Sarah.
Hey, I'm excited to be here, and we just got tickets for Fantasmic tomorrow night.
Can I stay here an extra night? I want to stay, and of course,
ten tickets.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah, just two.
What's it worth to you?
It's a good question. And
it's looking pretty good.
There we go. And also here on my left, it's Dom, also from the Star Wars Underworld.
Hello there.
My line buddy from last night. That was nuts, man.
That was a long night, but a fun night.
All right, so I'm going to go around the circle here and just get everybody's reaction real quick to the big Star Wars news of the day. Although, to be honest, guys, I'm still kind of hyped up about Avengers Infinity War. That's kind of all I want to talk about. It was awesome. But, all right, I'll start with you, Dom. I'll phrase the question differently with each person. Worth the wait on the cold, hard concrete?
Yes.
Not insane laughter, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, yes, it was. It was worth the wait. I maybe would have liked something more, but I had enough fun with it that I can't really complain.
Yeah. Now, Richard and Sarah, you guys, I mean, you guys are big into Disney and Star Wars, but...
Our mecca. This is our mecca right here.
I mean, like, it's as if they made a convention for you guys. That's D20.
Absolutely.
A surprise party for us? Get out, people. Come on.
Happy birthday.
Oh, shucks. 6 months late, but you know what? It is a surprise. I didn't see it coming.
Exactly, exactly. Well, Richard, tell me about your reaction to the Last Jedi reel, because that's kind of what we were expecting. Was there anything unexpected that you weren't expecting?
Yes, I expected more Han Solo news. Let's shift the news right over here.
Like, here are
lack of Han Solo news. Now, on Skywalking Through Neverland, trademark registered,
we
kept saying there's going to be a sizzle reel for Han Solo. There's going to be something from Ron Howard that changes the conversation from blah, 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 blah. I'm mad. I'm upset. Let's do this. Let's do that. I'm irate to, wow, I cannot wait for this film now. But they showed us a slide of the cast, and then they moved on.
It's like, here's some headshots of the cast.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, but all right, Sarah, let me ask you then, because we saw that, but now we're hearing about all this amazing stuff of Galaxy's Edge. There's a name for it. It's not Star Wars Land. Your initial impressions?
My initial impression, I like the name. I think it's, you know what, it's simple enough that it's hashtaggable. So, like, hashtag Galaxy's Edge. I think people will be able to do that pretty simply. And I'm excited that we got to see this model and, like, actually, you know, how there's going to be this outpost that has both the resistance, it has, like, your outpost area with a cantina, and it also has, like, a First Order area. So not only is it fun to look forward to the two, like, e-ticket attractions, but I think the whole world itself will be very immersive. And just from some of the people we've talked to, Imagineers that have worked on it, hush, hush, that, you know, like they're working on cool stuff. They're all Star Wars fans.
Yeah. Now, I'll be honest, guys. Like, when I first learned that Star Wars Land, or as, you know, Galaxy's Edge now, wasn't going to be, like, the iconic locations, I was expecting, like, the Snowspeeder or Mos Eisley Cantina. And whatever. Well, it's going to be an original planet. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I like that.
If you look over here to your right, who is that?
I mean,
what species is that? It's an Ithorian, yeah, that we don't see in The Force Awakens, that we don't see in Rogue One, but we will see in Galaxy's Edge, which excites me to no end, that we're going to get classic creatures.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that, especially seeing this model, it just feels like Star Wars. Just looking at it, I can now picture myself walking in and say, oh, this is the Star Wars world. I'm now part of it, which I wasn't sure initially if it wasn't a recognizable planet, but, like, with the First Order, with the whole layout is just amazing.
By the way, it's great that it has a name and all, Galaxy's Edge, but I'm just still going to call it Star Wars Land.
I mean, let's be honest.
I don't care. Yeah, no, it's Star Wars Land. It's always Star Wars Land.
Yeah.
Ooh, I have a comment. Rex. Captain Rex is going to be back as a DJ. He's going to be a DJ.
Yeah, Captain Rex from the Star Tours ride, not the Captain Rex clone trooper.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
Yes, the Rex, as voiced by Paul Rubens, a.k.a. Pee Wee Herman.
Yes. Somewhere, like, Dee Bradley Baker was like, open fire.
Yeah, I didn't agree to this.
Pee Wee Herman's very excited.
Yes.
Because he still maintains his lifetime ticket to Disneyland.
Oh, I had no idea.
I heard on Skywalking Through Neverland, hashtag trademark, that he gets a lifetime pass as long as his voice is used.
He's in the parks.
Yes. All right, so I'm gonna put a button on this short segment. I haven't had time to podcast nearly enough, but I do want to say this, and we're going to do a full breakdown, guys, of the whole event. But this is my first time at D23. And I had reasonably high expectations. Like, I knew it wasn't going to be all Star Wars everywhere, but man, it is. I'm sold. I will be back here as often as I possibly can. And just like, I knew I would be sold, but I wasn't sold. And I am now fully sold on Star Wars Land, on Galaxy's Edge. It is just an incredible, incredible design. And you know, they've put 4 years of effort into it, and it shows. And also, I happened to run into Doug Chang over here, and that was pretty sweet. I'm going to say we'll put the button on this segment. Guys,
before we do that, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
What are you now most excited about? Reliving Celebration or reliving the stuff you learned at D23 Expo?
Oh, that's a good one. Man, as far as news goes,
yeah.
D23.
It's experience.
But as far as experience, Celebration's my home. It still is. Yeah, no, I've... As much as I love it, as much as I've loved it here, unless I can convince all of my Star Wars crew and family to all come here, although maybe that's the next project. Like, we're just going to get all the celebration people. So
Teresa's convinced.
Right, I know. Like, I cannot believe Teresa Delgado of Star Wars Bookworms, has not been to D23. Teresa! Shame on you if you're listening. Anyway, no, we'll fix it next time. Next time, we'll bring you out here. And then, to answer your question, Richard, it's not just news that has me more excited. Like, because of my... Star Wars at these events is like friendships. Like, that's where we hang out. But here, it puts it in the full Disney context, which, to be fair, I wasn't in that Disney camp. I wasn't a big Disney kid that went to the parks all the time. So I've been acclimating to the process of it, you know, making the transition into being part of this huge company. So
it like, really is a blue milk yogurt fruit question.
Exactly. 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 I can't think of a better way to end it. Let's get the plugs in. Star Wars Underworld. Chris, tell everybody where they can find it.
StarWarsUnderworld.com, iTunes, and Google Play.
Awesome, awesome. Go download it, subscribe, and Skywalking Through Neverland, Sarah?
We are SkywalkingThroughNeverland.com, also on iTunes and YouTube.
Seriously, like, subscribe. Rate and review.
Rate and review, definitely.
And doesn't hurt. Sure. We don't have any t-shirts, but... Touche. Which, by the way, Dom, Superman style, unzips his hoodie, is like, ha-ha, I have a t-shirt.
Who's not representing?
Yeah.
I know, I have... I'm in the blandest black polo shirt. I'm ashamed of myself. All right, I'm stopping this recording right now. We're done. It's not. All right, we're done. We'll see you guys later. So there it is from D23. Big thanks to Steele Saunders for coming on the program. And, of course, Chris and Dom from Star Wars Underworld. Make sure you check them out. As well as, of course, Skywalking Through Neverland. We had Richard and Sarah. Thanks so much for coming on, guys. Really appreciate hanging with all of you. Had a great, grand old time. Man, D23, good Lord. it was a thing. I mean, overall, it was a blast. The organization was really good. There's a lot to do there, especially if you're a Disney fan. If you're there just for Star Wars stuff, probably more of a one-day event. But if you're like me, and you're kind of slowly getting sucked into that Kraken-like mall, pure Disney magic, you will like it! You'll be made to be happy! It's Disney! Be happy! Happy! All right, I'll stop. I don't know. I do wish... it's a combination of sort of like a trade show plus, you know, with a big official presence and that sort of thing, and actual fan presence. So it's sort of like a, when they say expo, as Steele said, they mean expo. I do wish the main programming would have instituted maybe some of the overflow screens for those who didn't want to wait overnight. Overflow screens are the best. Those are really nice for the people who went, and that way maybe more people could have seen something like the Infinity War stuff. But, you know, that's how it goes. I'll tell you what. Summary, the vibe, people are passionate, but more subdued than something like Celebration. I will say this, I did get chills watching the Mary Poppins Returns stuff. It was great. I saw it so many times as a kid. Did I mention Thanos? He was pretty awesome. There were explosions and awesomeness. It was Infinity War. And it was great seeing friends, and you know what, the trip was... it was the friends that made the trip totally worth it. Also, the Iron Spider suit and Black Panther and the Avengers and the Guardians was pretty cool. And it was like, Star Wars. Oh, the parks announcements were great. They were awesome. The real potential, though, is that, like, that immersive hotel, like, adding it all together. You know, Star Wars Westworld. And oh, by the way, Mantis had to wake up Thor, and he was almost dead. And then he was like, "Whoa!" And then they were like, "Whoa!" It was Avengers. Okay, all right, I'll stop. It's enough about all of that, folks. That puts the wraps on this particular episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. Like I said, folks, thanks for listening. Big thank you to everybody supporting us at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Remember, 6 patrons until the Megapod. Megapod. Facebook.com/StarWarsReport is where you want to find us. You're going to find a video there I just posted, a montage, if you will,
of the Galaxy of Stories exhibit. You can see the model. You can see I took it with the high-quality DSLR. It's great footage. I shot the intro like on my phone as I walked through SFO. It's great. Facebook.com/Star Wars Report. And that same Twitter video is posted on our Twitter. It's at Star Wars Report. Now, we need your iTunes reviews. Leave a review on iTunes. It's StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. It takes you directly there. That's how you can leave us an iTunes review and get the word out about the program. Now, I'm going to do something live here that I'm terrible at. This goes back to a meeting I had with Andrew Main on Friday. because here's the problem. Oh, look, it's perfect timing. You are not connected to the internet. This is a perfect time for the Wi-Fi to go out. Man, it's a good thing Steel Saunders isn't on the thing. You know, I can't confirm that the link works unless I have internet. My goodness. Come on, Riley. I'm desperate enough, folks. I'm going to tether to my iPhone because I have a very important parting announcement. If you're one of the few people who listens through the credits, I've mentioned this before. If you're listening now to this very podcast, know the importance of the announcement that I'm about to put place, because I refuse to give it unless I test the link to make sure the link works, because that would suck. So we'll sit here and play like 30 seconds of music while Riley figures out his life. All right, here it is. I found it. I found it. I found them. Repeat. I found them. No, I found the link. There's something I haven't plugged in forever, and I haven't used it in a while. What I do is that for conventions or for the restaurant or when we launch a new show, I would occasionally send out emails exclusively on the Star Wars Report mailing list. And we've had hundreds of you guys sign up, but I rarely use it. And it's the best way to get in touch with you guys, because like you miss stuff on Twitter and you miss stuff on Facebook. It's easy to miss this stuff. And so here's the deal. If you want to be able to directly hear from us when we send out our most important announcements about projects related to the Star Wars Report, when we put out T-shirts, we send out the information there. When we're doing a live show at a convention, we send out the information there. When, you know, when we launch a new project, or when I launch Star Wars Tonight, or when we have a special guest or something like that, I will very occasionally send out an email blast. Now, I need to get better about this because I don't send out nearly enough, but I will be doing that very soon and bringing a lot of our bonus content. That's right, the bonus content that we usually put on Patreon, like Rogue Transmissions, etc., I'm going to be putting that on our email list as well. So if you're not financially where you can support the Star Wars Report through something like Patreon, this is still a great way to sort of be part of the club, part of the crew, and get some of the bonus content and be able to hear directly from us when we're doing all kinds of awesome stuff. So here's what you want to do. That's a long plug. All right, get to the point, Riley. StarWarsReport.com/mailing list. StarWarsReport.com/mailing list. Just punch in your name and email, and you'll be there ready to hear back from us at the Star Wars Report when we put out all kinds of stuff, and we'll be putting out some bonus content very soon. I'll be making the announcements as far as the kind of stuff that we'll be putting out there. So get in early, get in now, StarWarsReport.com/mailing list. Until next time, mini Bothans die to bring you this podcast. That's it, folks. Until next time.